Live from CAP Radio in Sacramento, this is Insight. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. If you're a customer of PG&E, your bill is going up once again. Less than 2 weeks ago, the California Public Utilities Commission, CPUC, voted to allow PG&E to raise its rates starting in January. PG&E provides gas and electricity to roughly 16 million people in California, and the average customer will pay about $32 more per month for gas and electricity, amounting to about $400 more a year. The utility says the rate increase is needed to cover the cost of burying power lines in high-risk wildfire areas. But ratepayer advocates argue this latest hike is on top of other PG&E rate increases in recent years. Either way, rates are going up, and Californians, especially those who are lower income, will need to budget their energy usage. Joining us to discuss the impact on the rate increases is Mark Toney, Executive Director of TURN, or the Utility Reform Network. Good morning, Mark.
Good morning, Vicky.
Thanks for joining us. So TURN has been around for 50 years now. Can you tell us kind of the origin story for this organization, who they advocate for, and for whom?
Sylvia Siegel was the founder of the organization, founded it around her kitchen table, and it was because she was frustrated that nobody was representing ratepayers at the California Public Utilities Commission. And she thought it was important for people paying the bills to have a voice in how much their bills are going to be and what they're going to get for paying the bills.
And I would imagine it's evolved over the decades. I mean, when we think about utilities, people might instinctively think of energy providers like SMUD or PG&E, but you also advocate for phone and broadband as well, correct?
Absolutely. We have a big focus on broadband equity to make sure that communities, particularly Black and Latino communities that have been redlined, left out, underinvested in, and don't have adequate internet services, are able to participate in a modern society with affordable, high-speed, and reliable broadband internet service.
When it comes to this latest rate hike for PG&E, your organization TURN, as well as other ratepayer advocacy groups, you're opposed to it. What did you all try to convey as some of your biggest concerns to the CPUC?
The first thing is that there was and is a cheaper, faster way for wildfire safety, and that is insulating the overhead power lines instead of burying the lines. We're talking about a fifth of the cost, the difference between $800,000 a mile and $4 million a mile. We're talking about Southern California Edison has been able to insulate 5,000 miles of overhead power lines within the past 4 years. PG&E is going to take over 20 years to underground, to bury at best the 10,000 miles they want to do. So the judge who issued the original proposal in the PG&E decision agreed with TURN and ordered that 90% of all lines should be insulated overhead with only 10% buried. Unfortunately, PG&E was able to get an alternative proposal that ended up allowing them to bury 60% of their lines at a much greater cost. So that's the first issue. The second issue is that people can't afford the bills because they are too doggone high. We're talking about right now, the average PG&E bill a month is $240 a month. And this $32 that they decided to raise is just the tip of the iceberg, because PG&E has multiple increases on the table. And come January 1, we're not only going to see the $32 a month, we're going to see far more than that on people's bills, and it's just too much.
And this concept that you're talking about, hardening versus undergrounding the lines, I mean, that would come with the cost too. And we've seen the devastation. We've all experienced it here in California in recent years with record-setting wildfires that have been destructive as well as deadly. And that also includes debilitating power safety shutoffs during high wind events. That is debilitating for people who don't, they can't use electricity during that time. So what is the right funding solution when we're talking about wildfire safety?
When we're talking about wildfire safety, it makes sense to choose the strategy that is cheaper and faster and as safe, verified as safe. And that's why it's important to look at overhead power lines. If you live in a high fire district, ask yourself, do you want the power lines to be made safe in 3 or 4 years? Or 20 to 25 years? How long do you want to wait for that fire danger to be eliminated? And that's why it makes sense to go with overhead power lines. But I got to tell you something else. The whole way we pay for electricity has to change. Right now, we're looking at a situation where we have double-digit increases over the past 5 years. The sky is the limit for how much PG&E could ask for, and the sky is the limit to how much the California Public Utilities Commission can grant them. What we need is a cap on rate increases. What we need is a law that says customer bills can go up no higher than the cost of living adjustment for Social Security on an annual basis. That's what we need.
Then on the other hand, what can state regulators like the CPUC and also the utilities that operate in the state, what can they do to keep these costs under control?
Well, the first thing they can do is to be less concerned about Wall Street investment firms and their thirst and greed for profit. So much of this decision that was made a couple of weeks ago by the California Public Utilities Commission was in response to Wall Street investment firms complaining that there isn't enough revenue, that the judge's proposal did not provide PG&E shareholders with enough return. We have to figure out what is more important, shareholder returns or affordability for ratepayers. One of the things that TURN is advocating that I think is important is if you take a minute and think about it, the lower income a family is, the higher percentage of their income goes to pay their utility bill. But if you look at the income tax system, the higher income you have, the higher percentage you pay, because it's a progressive system. And so if you're low income, in fact, you might be getting the earned income tax credit and pay a negative income tax, get a refund, right? When's the last time you heard of a low-income family receiving a negative monthly utility bill? Here's, when we talk about equity, it is absolutely unfair to charge a consumption tax for an absolutely essential service like electricity. And what we need to do is to take the cost of wildfire safety, extremely important priority. Take the cost of climate change, okay? Electric vehicle charging stations, building electrification, and fund those through the state budget. Because the income tax system is a much more equitable way of funding absolutely critical needs than putting them on the backs of low income and middle income ratepayers.
Yeah. I mean, and that brings me to, I mean, California is leading the charge, so to speak, to become carbon neutral, you know, and to electrify. So how, in your view, do we reach those ambitious goals without leaving the most vulnerable Californians behind? I mean, you mentioned putting it into the budget, but are there other alternatives as well instead of offsetting it on customers?
What's important is to always look for the most cost-effective method to achieve anything. And it, for instance, just so happens that large-scale solar projects are so much more cost-effective way to provide clean energy than rooftop subsidies. So much more cost-efficient. And so we have to make some hard choices. Here's the big challenge. When you make the price of electricity higher than the cost of natural gas, let's say your water heater breaks. You have a gas water heater, like most of us. And let's say you go out and you say, I want to do the right thing. I want to replace my water heater with an electric water heater because I know that's the right thing to do. And then you come to find out that your monthly bill is going to be higher for your hot water. I got to tell you something. The majority of people do not like to be punished for doing the right thing. What we should do is reward people for doing the right thing. That is how you gain the support of people to switch to electric cooking and stoves, to switch to electric heating, by making it cheaper. When we make it more expensive, we're shooting ourselves in the foot and we are undermining California climate goals and making it that much harder. And that's the point we're already at. And that's why we have to do something both for equity and for sustainability.
And we're having this conversation as another rate increase is going to take effect, you know, with the new year in January. The last minute that we have, when it comes to some of the most vulnerable Californians, those who are lower income, they already have strapped budgets, they're living paycheck to paycheck, you know, and they're going to be experiencing these rate increases in just a few weeks. You know, are there savings or discounted rates that you can provide just to kind of help people navigate this?
There are a number of programs. There's a CARE program that's a significant discount for families who earn under 200% of the federal poverty line. There's a FARA program for families between 200 and 250%. There are various programs. Medical Baseline is another one to look at if you have a medical need. What I have to tell you is that utility shutoffs is a hidden driver of people losing their homes and ending up on the streets. So insofar as people want to prevent homelessness, one of the most effective ways is to prevent utility shutoffs, make the bills more affordable so that people don't get evicted just because they lose their electricity.
Mark Toney is the executive director of TURN, a rate power advocacy group. Thank you so much for the time, Mark.
Thank you very much, Vicki.
You're listening to Insight on your NPR station, CAP Radio. I'm Vicki Gonzalez.